Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. Are you excited at all about the fact? This is, for me, this is the day I look forward to for months and months and months. It's the opening of the baseball season. And it's just, I don't know what it is. I just wake up, I'm so excited just for the mere fact that people will be playing baseball.
Yeah, because it makes you this much closer to summer.
I think that's a part of it. I also just like it being kind of the background noise.
Oh, I love it. It's good nap noise.
Isn't it?
That's not what he meant, I don't think.
No, that's
it doesn't
what I
put
mean.
Me, it, I know, it, for some people it could lull you to sleep. I understand that. But it's just, there's just something nice about if you're driving and the baseball game's on the radio, or if you're home and you're doing stuff around the house and the baseball game is on the TV while you're doing stuff. I don't know what it is. It makes me feel so good.
That's pretty exciting.
You don't get any of that?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Steve, you?
Oh, I love baseball season. One of my favorite days. And it's a reason not to watch TV news shows when I get home at night.
Right.
There'll be baseball games on.
There's an alternative to the hard news that is sad news often, right?
Yeah. I get that same feeling when I see my first tulip come up. So I get it. Yeah.
Very similar.
Your daffodils are coming up, aren't they?
I don't like daffodils, so I have not planted any. Mm. I know they come up early. My grape hyacinth have come up, at least the green part of it.
Yeah.
That's the full time. That's how I know spring has sprung.
I haven't seen my grape hyacinth this spring yet, but
I know it's sprung when my tulip comes up in one day and goes down the next.
That's Chicago.
Boom.
Well, I was just saying, we finally got a day. We're right around 60 right now, right?
Well,
isn't it
now,
high 50s?
Wait till later.
But then, if I understand Steve right in the news, it's going to be in the 30s in a few hours.
I think later this evening it's going to drop. But, I mean, we will get misty weather tomorrow.
Yeah.
Today is Jimmy Mack's 50th birthday, so happy birthday, Jim. He can stretch and he can kick whatever Molly Shannon's character did.
Mm-hmm.
He's 50.
You're married to a 50-year-old, Wendy. How does that feel?
Oh, it makes me feel old.
Does it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, he's younger than
I am. Does it make you feel older to know you're married to somebody in that age bracket, or to actually be in that age bracket yourself?
I'm beyond that age bracket, just about.
I'm a cougar.
I'm a cougar before I knew what a cougar was. 6 years difference.
Wow.
But he's very excited that the White Sox are playing tonight.
On his birthday.
Yes. So he's going to go out with his brother and watch the White Sox game. Big plans.
Did you even get invited to that or not even
an
invite?
Yes, I was invited. Yeah.
And how fast did you turn that?
I may go.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. To a bar, have tacos, watch the White Sox.
I think on his birthday, that's the way to be.
Yeah. I may go.
Oh, good for you. That story had a very happy ending.
I mean, come on.
Right. I'm sure you'll find something to do. I'm positive there'll be something in there for you. Maybe that puck bowling thing.
Oh, where you put the sawdust down?
Yeah, you put down
the Parmesan cheese?
Yes.
I love that.
Do bars still have those?
I think sometimes you'll come across those.
Oh, Steve?
The Papa Shot, is that still there?
Yeah, they must still have a Papa Shot.
Not in any bar I've ever been to.
How about the love tester, where you grab it with your hand and then lights light up and it says how good of a lover you are? Remember
When's
that
the last
thing?
Time you've been to a neighborhood tavern?
1972.
Because these things have not been in there. Now everything is taken over by the video poker, which I don't play. So, you know, give me my electronic darts.
Yeah.
And give me the sawdust.
So, Bill, were you a good lover?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
According to the love tester,
right?
I was a Romeo. That's pretty good.
So that's accurate then,
Yeah, it's very accurate, yeah. It's science tested, Wendy. Of course it's accurate.
Science.
We will take a break, and then what are those TV stars that you like so much?
I love this guy.
Adam Conover, the host of Adam Ruins Everything. He'll be ruining the show in just a minute or two. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, Bill. I love this show. It has changed my life in a good way. Adam Conover is the creator and host of Adam Ruins Everything. You can find it on True TV. My kids are teenagers. They actually turned me on to this show. And Adam, you have ruined everything I've ever believed in.
I'm very sorry, but I'm also very happy to do it. It's kind of what I do. So.
There were a couple of
thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We've had you on before. I know you were just on tour through Chicago. Was it last month?
Yeah, just a week or two ago, I was at the Park West, had a really killer show of my my new touring show, Mind Parasites Live. It's a brand new hour that's sort of mixing stand-up comedy with what I do on TV. And, yeah, I had a great time in Chicago and hope to bring it back through another time soon.
I was watching a recent episode. I think the last one I saw was Adam Roon's Sleep. We need to get more sleep. We don't. High school kids need more sleep. And something that Bill and I have wondered for years about the mattress tags. Why were there mattress tags and why can't we remove them?
The reason is very funny, is the mattress industry used to be full of these real scam artists, and they would stuff the mattresses full of literally human hair and garbage and stuff like that. It was really disgusting and unsanitary. And so the government started saying, you know, you can't do that anymore. But the mattress industry would just lie about what was in the in them. So the government said, okay, you have to put these tags on that says what's in the mattress, because that way people aren't going to be sleeping on, you know, disgusting filth. And then the mattress industry would put the tags on, but they would tear the tags off before they sold them. So the government finally said they had to make a law saying it was illegal to remove the tag. And this was back, you know, decades ago, but that law is still with us today, and that's why you still see that funny that funny message on every tag. It's for them not to remove it, because they were so in the habit of doing that in order to rip off consumers.
Adam, if I still wanted a human hair mattress, could I get one?
You know, though, you might have to make that yourself.
All right.
Nothing stopping you from cutting off your own hair and spending a couple years doing that as a hobby. But, you know, I wouldn't advise it.
Okay.
Another interesting one I saw recently was about how we come to the statistics on unemployment, and that was also coupled with the stock market. Some interesting things. Can you shed some light on that to wow us?
Right. Well, we use those. I mean, this is a drier topic, right? But it is a really important one, because we use those statistics to decide, you know, whether or not the economy is doing well, right? You know, you turn on the radio, your station probably reported the Dow a couple times today already. Well, maybe the bell just opened, but, you know, you get it. And the unemployment rate, that's, you know, once a month, what's the big unemployment rate number, right? But those numbers are really sort of narrow and specific, which leads them to not be as accurate or really indicative of the health of the economy as we think. So the Dow Jones only includes, I think, the 30 top companies. That means that, you know, they decide one by one this company's not doing so well, let's take this company out and put Apple in instead. Right now, Apple's on the Dow Jones index, but most other companies aren't. And that means that, you know, those particular companies can be doing very well while the rest of the economy is doing very poorly. It makes it a really, really poor measure. You know, everyone should be reporting like the S&P 500 is a much larger sample size, 500 companies versus 30. And so it's much more, you know, indicative, right? The unemployment rate is an even bigger problem, because you hear that number. Oh, okay, great. The unemployment rate's gone down to, you know, I don't know what it is right now, 5% or whatever, right? And that means only 5% of Americans are looking for work. That's actually not the case, because the unemployment rate that we typically report is a specific number that doesn't include people who have given up looking for work, right? It only includes people who are actively looking for work right now. But if someone, you know, hasn't been able to find work, and then they say, all right, I guess I'll just, like, crawl into a ditch and fall asleep because there's nothing out there for me, then they're removed from that number, right? So that number can actually be artificially low. The actual truth is that probably many more people are struggling than that.
So these are kind of false reporting. Not false reporting, but it gives the illusion of something it isn't.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the number itself, look, all statistics are coming from a particular place. And so, you know, people say all statistics lie. That's kind of true. Really what it is all statistics have a context and a background. And if you don't know what that is, then it can be misleading, right? And since we never actually hear that, the media never tells us, hey, this is what defines the unemployment rate. They just say, this is how many people are out of work. Then we get a false impression of it. You know, in reality, the Department of Labor has many different unemployment numbers, some of which, you know, slice the pie in different ways, and so they have a slightly different bias than this one, right? So if you were to look at all those together, you could get a much more full view. But just repeating this one number over and over again, like the media does, can give you a pretty skewed idea.
We're talking with Adam Conover. He's the creator and host of Adam Ruins Everything, which you can watch on True TV. Adam, I'll tell you what the show reminds me of. It's an obscure reference. You're probably too young to even get it. But years ago, there was a show called Make a Wish with a guy named Tom Chapin, Harry Chapin's brother, which did the same thing you do, which is take a topic and just come at it from all different directions, often in a comedic way. It's a very similar outing. Did you ever see that show or hear of it?
I never did. I'm sorry. I'm sad to say, but I'll have to check it out. Make a Wish.
Make a Wish, it was called. Yeah, it was a really good show. How do you decide what the topics will be? What's that process like for you?
Well, you know, in the first couple of years, I was so full of, you know, topics that I had read, you know, articles I had read, books I had read, podcasts I had heard that I want to share with people. Oh, my God, people have to hear this. They have to hear that, you know, the diamond engagement ring, that tradition is a scam on the part of the De Beers Corporation. I got to share this with the people. You know, I still have a lot of those ideas. Every off season, I'm reading and I'm collecting new ideas. But, you know, we also do, this last year, we taped 16 episodes. And there are way more to, you know, uncover. There's way more time to fill than I just have in my store bag. So we have a wonderful room full of really funny writers, really smart researchers who have also spent their years reading, collecting information. And then we just pitch in the writer's room, right? And what we do is any topic that makes all of us react, holy crap, is that true? Like when someone pitches it and we're all going, oh, my God, really? What? You know, then those are the ideas that we put up on the court. Yeah.
I'll tell you, you do a great job picking topics because I say that pretty much every episode I watch. Holy crap, is that true? So great job with that. You're also a lover of video games. Tell us a little about your podcast you have.
Sure. I do a podcast now called Humans Who Make Games. We just finished our first season. And, you know, I love playing video games, but it struck me that you almost never get to hear from the people behind the video games, right? The people who make them. And even when you do hear those interviews, they're just talking about, oh, here's the new features we have this year. You never really find out what it is like to be a person who makes video games or how they get into their career. So that's what the podcast is. It's sort of a long-form sit-down interview with the developers behind, you know, some of my favorite games, some of my audience's favorite games. It's a really cool show. And, you know, I mean, you have to like video games to know what we're talking about, but if you do, there's no other show like it. I'm very proud of it.
What's the commonality with all these guys? Is there anything they all seem to have in common?
That's a very good question. Well, guys and gals, I should say. You know, it's interesting because we all, the fun part about it for me is that, you know, my first question is always, what's your first memory of video games, right? What was what did you grow up with? So many, you know, the history of video games is so short that we can always find a really good bit of commonality between us, right? Oh, I had this game on Nintendo. Oh, I had an Atari, etc. And so much of when people make video games, they're trying to get back to their childhood in that way. They're trying to reproduce something that really got them excited when they're 8 years old, sitting on the floor of their parents' basement, you know, with their nose a couple inches away from the TV, really having like awe, you know, and like wonder and delight bubble up in their chest from playing this brand new form of media. A lot of times they're trying to get back to that. And that's what I really love exploring in the show.
That's really cool. All right. That is available on iTunes and wherever your favorite podcasts are found. Humans Who Make Games. What do you have coming up on Adam Ruins Everything?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have new episodes coming out this summer. No official release date yet, but I've heard unofficially August or roundabouts there. We've got a bunch of really great episodes. We're doing an episode on America, which I'm busting some of the big, I mean, we do a lot of myths about America, but this time we're like really going at like what the, you know, the American dream is and how it's died and the other myths that Americans tell ourselves. We're doing an episode on music. That's one that has been requested time and time again. People asking us to ruin the music industry. It absolutely needed to be ruined, so I'm really excited that we're doing it. And we have a really, really cool one coming up. I don't want to spoil too much about it, but it's called Adam Ruins Himself. and, you know, we're known for, in the past, we have done correction segments where I've corrected, you know, things that we got wrong previously on the show because, you know, we don't claim to be perfect, right? We're just humans trying to do our best like anybody else, and you know, make up for that by being transparent about your mistakes. We've done that in the past. But we really did a whole episode examining what is it that we're doing and, you know, how trustworthy is the show. It's a very, very cool idea. I sort of play opposite a doppelganger of myself who's trying to ruin me for myself. It's very meta and very cool and weird, and that's our season finale coming at the end of the year.
Can't wait. You can see him on True TV. You can go to adamconover.net, and please come in the studio next time you're through Chicago. We'd really love to meet you in person.
Oh, my gosh, I would absolutely love to. And you know, I love touring around the country, and you know, so I hope to be back in Chicago very, very soon. It's a wonderful town.
Great job. Keep up the good work.
No problem. And go Cubs today.
Oh, thank. Well, yeah.
Well, how about the White Sox? I'm a Sox fan. We can have an episode on that.
Okay, the White Sox should go too. I forgot you have two teams. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah.
Thank
I'm
you,
from
Adam.
LA. We only got one.
Yeah. So. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. Technically, they have two also.
They
do. Dodgers and the Angels.
Well, but issue a correction
right.
on that.
Yeah. Right. We'll take a break. Very funny man, Ian Bagg, will join us after the news. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Comedian Ian Bagg making a return appearance to the show. He's performing at the Chicago Improv today through Sunday. You're making grumbly noises.
This sounds fantastic.
It does sound like nice. Sounds like a good time.
I'm going to be great.
It sounds like I'm going to be just wonderful.
You're predicting a good outing today.
Oh,
it's going to be fun.
I like hearing about me.
You were recently on a plane that held a celebrity, other than yourself.
I wasn't on the plane. So I was in LAX yesterday.
Yeah.
And my plane was 3 hours late because I have all my points on United, and that's how they work.
Yes.
You wait longer with the more points you get?
Well, no, all their planes are late.
Oh. Okay.
So they're just like, hey, we're going to be 3 hours late, so enjoy it. Oh. We're United.
Oh. That's their motto.
That's their motto, and I'm not mad at them. I know your motto.
Yeah.
So I've decided to be with you guys, and I stand by you 3 hours
later. You're united with them.
I'm united.
Oh, yes. Good.
I'm united in time loss with them.
Yes.
And this young man came off the one plane that I was waiting for.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, that's that dude with the thing. And I just, hey, don't get beaten up.
It was Jussie Smollett.
Yeah, it was. Is it, what's his name? Is it Jussie?
It's Jussie.
It's, you know.
Jussie.
You know what it's to me? It's guilty.
Guilty Smollett.
Guilty Smollett.
So he was just, did he have bodyguards? Was
no,
he like
just,
cowering
he had a bag,
or covering
he had a
his
bag
face?
And he was walking like,
Was he humming this?
Yeah. And I was
Walla
like,
Walla Bing Bang?
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's interesting. That's an interesting airport song.
You would think, I think there are a lot of people that are annoyed with him. I feel like he'd be covering himself or something.
I would be, if I was found not guilty and guilty at the same time, I would be president.
Yes. But now let's rewind a second. As you passed him,
everybody's mad at him, but Trump is the same way.
Yeah.
I'm not guilty.
Exonerated.
I'm not even exonerated. Look at me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the bing bang. Bang. So upon passing,
I'm going to Venezuela.
Upon passing Jussie Smollett, you, Ian, say, don't get beaten up.
I said, don't get beaten.
What did he do?
It's because I'm an idiot, and things come out of my mouth, and that's why I do comedy. Because,
right.
But my wife says to me a lot, "You're not on stage."
Oh.
Because we one night, she's the most mad she ever got at me was we were in Target and they had taped up all their ice boxes where they keep the ice cream and the frozen foods or what are those
their
things?
Freezer section,
their freezer ice boxes. What am I from 1912?
Say,
I'm pretty sure I just ruined all my ticket sales this weekend.
Some old guys out there talking about the ice boxes. The dinosaur is pulling in the things to keep the ice creams cold.
Anyways, there was a guy, and he was trying to get in. He was trying to get into the freezer to get ice cream. And I said, you're going to get diarrhea. There's a reason they tape it up. And I just start yelling at him. And my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to save this.
Yeah.
She goes, you're going to get stabbed is what you're going to get. And I'm just like, well, nobody's ever stabbed anybody with diarrhea. I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to tell
you
that
true?
Right now. If you
can
look
at
it, it's a crime. It's a crime statistic that I got from Law and Order SUV.
SUV. I'm going to Google that and see if that's true or not.
It's true. All Nobody's ever stabbed anybody while having diarrhea. People with diarrhea have been stabbed.
Oh, all right.
But people with diarrhea have never stabbed.
They're too weak. Right. No, that's what it is.
They're not on the offensive. They're definitely on the defensive.
Yes. There's something. There's definitely something to that.
Yeah.
All right. I need to ask you this because last time you were on, we talked
about
you being. Are you a Scorpio?
No.
We talked about your childhood in Canada and what a happy life you lived in Canada. There was a story the other day about how life expectancy in Canada is much higher for both men and for women. Why is that? What's going on in Canada that they're expected to live far longer than here in the United States?
Well, I think that may be the dumbest question I've ever been asked.
Thank you.
Bill, you win. You win the prize. And you've been exonerated.
You're lucky I have diarrhea. Otherwise, I'd stab you. I would say it's probably medical. Everybody has medical. Yeah. I would say that's why.
It's provided for free.
Yeah. It's not free.
No?
You have to pay for it, but it's a percentage. It's a very. It's a percentage of what you earn. Is what you was what you pay.
And everybody here, you know, socialism, you don't want that kind of medicine.
No, you don't want socialism.
But, but now, may I ask you a question? Because I have a friend whose parents
we
live in Canada.
We don't use fire trucks down here. We don't have fire departments or police stations.
No.
Social.
No she police said or they... fire?
I know some old guy just clicked this off right now.
Oh, I don't care.
Let's go to the ice box while this idiot's on.
So is the medical coverage decent even though like
yeah, it's good.
See and
yeah,
every,
my parents are in their 80s and they're very healthy, knock on wood.
Yeah,
my dad's a little goofy.
Yeah,
well, that's where I get it from.
Yeah.
But yeah, the medical, they go to the doctor, you know. I mean, people are like, well, they don't have this kind of thing and that. I'm like, well, that's because the population's different. They don't have certain things because you don't put an MRI machine in for 15 people that live in a little village.
Right,
you
right.
know what I mean? So they have to go to bigger,
to the big hospital.
Yeah, so but that's how that works. But yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
True or false? Most Canadians die of hockey related injuries.
Yes, most Canadians are either skate to the throat,
skate to the throat.
Yes,
that's horrible.
Or puck, a puck to the ding dong.
A lot of people. Walla walla bing bing. Puck to the ding dong.
Right to the ding dong.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's a horrible way to die, Ian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you read Stan Mikita's book, it talks about his uncle that was killed by a puck to the ding-dong.
I haven't heard ding-dong in a long time, and ding-dong. It just makes me laugh.
That's a good time. Ian Bagg's ding-dong-related humor can be seen at the Improv.
Are you kicking me off the show?
No, we're just taking a break.
I was
going to
say the elevator ride up to this place was longer than
I know.
My segment.
We have to take a break.
You got more time.
By the way, this is lovely. I'm looking
you,
at
Ian.
Somebody at the Sheraton right now.
Yeah,
put
you
your
are?
Pants back on, sir.
Right.
I'm going to hit you. I'm going to get my hockey stick out and hit you in the ding-dong.
Ian Bagg is performing at the Improv all this weekend. We'll take a little break because we need to, and then more of this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Walla bing bang.
I believe is the next lyric in that song.
Wow.
Huh?
I think somebody is going to be mad about that song.
Ian Bagg is here. He's performing at the Improv tonight through Sunday. Also the host of a podcast. I'm going to say very successful podcast, Ian, I'm guessing.
Let's see what's the one they put
it's
in there.
It's Ian Bagg Bought a House.
That's my show!
That's your podcast.
Yeah, it's all about me buying a house on the eastern shore of Virginia. And I talk to my contractor, Michael Benedetto, every week. And I actually, I have we just did a sizzle reel and it's out for sale right now. And a couple of people are bidding for it.
That's
we're
cool.
going to turn it into an HGTV show.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Is this the first house you've ever owned?
This is my first house I've ever owned. I had no idea that I had this fever for owning a house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love doing things.
Yeah.
And
doing things yourself or decorating?
Both.
And yeah.
I'm decorating.
Are you handy? I mean,
no,
you just
no,
have
you
a vision.
Did you just ask
I'm sorry, I didn't
did
mean
you
decorating.
Did you just ask me?
Like designing.
Did you decorate?
I'll say designing.
I buy a couch every once in a while.
Okay.
All right.
No,
that's good.
I do some of the work. I hire people, but I hire people and, I plan things out. You know, I don't know if I'm even supposed to bring this up on the air.
We won't tell anyone.
I came up with a plan of putting an outdoor ice rink on the side of the house that would also be in the summertime could just be like a street hockey rink.
Oh, that's excellent. Ah.
And then the guy that I'm writing this show that I was telling you guys about with is also writes for Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
So I go to Universal Studios and I'm hanging with Michael Bublé. That's right. I'm dropping names.
I love him.
Well, John, I think I'm the most fantastic person because I've come up with this ice rink idea that we could have. Michael Bublé has an 11,000 square foot ice rink in his basement.
He does?
His own Zamboni.
Michael Bublé has his own Zamboni.
In Vancouver. He's got it's some ridiculously million-dollar house. But he shows me pictures of it, and I'm like, well, all right, so I have to go back to my contract. We're not doing it. We're not doing it because Bublé came out and just
he
just
ruined kicked. It.
He just totally punched me
why
in the bing bong.
Why does
play hockey? Does he?
Yeah,
skate?
He skates. Yeah,
he does.
Wendy, he's Canadian. All it's, Canadians.
It's,
play
it's hockey. Weird
his
though. Kids. He's on the ice and he's got the puck and he's like
in a suit.
Can I point something out?
I'm gonna go for the top corner.
Celebrity voice impersonated. We have to legally say that. People think it's Bublé.
I only do one impression, and sadly he passed away. I did his show a couple years.
Who is it?
It's hello. I'm Alan Thicke. That's it.
Aww. I'm going to guess who it was. Is it Alan Thicke?
No.
No?
No, you.
I thought it was. It sounded just like Alan Thicke.
Do you not watch Jeopardy?
Is it Alex Trebek?
Yes.
Oh.
Come on.
That should have been my first guess.
Why do I even get out of bed for you people?
Speaking of celebrities with ice rinks,
hello.
That's a sentence I've never said before.
Yeah, I know, but Charles, you're going to be using it a lot now. Yeah,
now on I will. Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, did you ever see the ice rink he had built?
But he built an arena outside of his house, and I think, where was it? Was in like Palo Alto or something like
in
that?
In California, right? Yeah.
So, but no, Michael Bublé is in his basement. He's like, hey, honey, I'm not going to go downstairs and do laundry. I'm going to go down and I'm going to skate around. Yeah.
Imagine having that kind of power.
How about he's got his own Zamboni. Can you imagine just getting mad at your wife and just going down and just doing circles on the Zamboni, just driving around?
Therapeutic.
I'm cleaning the ice. All right, I'm back. I guess you were right.
Good. I'm glad I finally talked some sense in between.
I've circled the ice a couple of times, and I've been thinking about what you said, and yes, maybe we shouldn't put a water polo pool in the basement as well.
Last time you were on, I asked you about kids, and I got a couple of angry texts saying, listeners saying, it's too much of an intrusion to ask about whether you have kids or not, but I think it's a solid question.
No, it's a solid question.
You've opted to not have kids.
We're not having kids.
You don't want kids.
I know many people.
Not that we know of.
Yeah.
That we might have kids. We're one of those people that...
You may have kids and not know? Is that what you're saying?
You know, yes. Well, my wife does. She's very, very promiscuous.
She it's horrible.
She's also very good at hiding things, and I'm pretty sure she could get by having a baby with me
you wouldn't
for
know.
9 months, and I wouldn't even know. I'm like, what's going on there? You seem to be why don't you just pay attention to your own life? And then she'd just have another family on the side.
Really?
That I wouldn't. Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't be bothered.
I don't trust
that?
Her. I don't trust her. I'm married to her, but I don't trust her. What
have there been times though where you've thought to yourself, a kid wouldn't be bad. I wouldn't mind having a kid.
I do. Yeah. I do think every so often it'd be nice.
It's a lot of work.
Well, that's the other thing. That my wife also, she's a occupational therapy, works with kids. So
yeah.
She has her fill of kids. Also, she deals with kids with problems.
Oh.
So she sees everything that can go wrong.
Yeah.
So that also sends her off. And she's also got me.
Yeah.
So,
like having a child?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely, I'm pretty sure I'm a case study. What are they like when they're older? I'll marry one. If you don't get angry texts about that, people are not using their computers for good.
I just read something about like millennials.
Liar, you're not a reader.
Are just choosing not to have kids, and people are worried what that's going to do to the population.
I think we need to smallen the population.
I'm with you.
So yes, we're not going to do it like the old ways that we used to do it.
You say thin out the herd.
Yeah. Well, just get rid of herds.
No more herds.
Yeah. Just get not.
Herds must stop.
No, yeah, there's certain types of herds that we don't need anymore. People that beat themselves up and then blame other people.
Yes, that needs to stop today.
It's such a weird story when you say that out loud. Yeah. I mean, really.
Right. when I first heard it, it just seems like something Jim Carrey would do in a movie. Just,
right,
just walking
it?
Down the street and start beating himself up.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of punching of himself.
Yeah.
Since we saw you last...
I can't wait to see him on Big Brother.
Oh, Jussie Smollett?
Yep.
I watch Big Brother, so I will be looking for it.
He will be on all those horrible shows.
The reality celebrity shows. Big Brother, like, because Kato Kaelin was on?
No, they won't. He won't even be celebrity. He'll just be
regular.
Regular Big Brother? That's no way to end.
No, he'll be on Celebrity.
Yeah.
By himself, because nobody else wants to be with him.
If they asked you to be on Dancing with the Stars or a similar show, what would your answer be?
I would say, hey, Mr. Tambourine Man. No, I would
America's
say,
Got Talent, I would ladies
say,
and gentlemen.
I would say, why do you need to have me voted off first?
Oh.
That's what I
You
I
don't
would
think
say.
You'd last long on
no,
the show?
On dancing?
No,
on dancing?
Do you dance at all?
I've got 4 left legs.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, 4 feet, and not legs.
Wow.
It's sad. I've got 4 left legs, 3 right feet.
Maybe not having kids is a good idea.
Yeah, no, I should not be in charge. My dad has often said, we just risked it, and you should definitely shut her down. My dad had an X-ray machine beside my bed trying to ruin everything every night. He'd put it near my bing bong, and he'd turn it on and run it all night, just trying to get it so I wouldn't have children.
You just broke the personal WGN best for saying bing bong and ding dong on the show. So.
Bing dong, bing bong.
Yep, well, you just beat Ruth Bader Ginsburg's record. Congratulations.
She was on the show.
Yeah, she kept saying bing bong and ding dong. We had to cut her off.
No way. She's like, well, we had the one case about the ding dong. I don't know why she turned to that. She turned into Bill Cosby for no reason. We got the case about the ding dong.
Someone just texted, just hit myself in the ding dong with a puck. So it all came full circle. You inspired someone.
Somebody's
your mission has been accomplished.
Somebody's
Ian.
At noon skate.
Ian Bagg is performing at the Improv all this weekend.
If this doesn't sell this place out, I don't know what could.
I don't know what will. I don't know. Chicago.improv.com for all your ticket information.
Follow me on Instagram if you like pictures of dogs.
You have a dog?
I have 2 dogs.
I have a 1 dog, 1 puppy, just turned a year old. Kona, what are your dogs' names?
Minnie Pearl and Lou.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. I have a French bulldog and a purebred pound puppy.
Ah,
yeah, he's right.
Was there a cartoon or something about them?
I know. Well,
your dogs. Did you have something going on?
I sell t-shirts with my dogs. So
that's
Pearl,
right.
Pearl's holding a hockey stick on one, and the new one's just about out. It's just I'll show you a picture of it afterwards. She's actually holding a surfboard, throwing the shaka.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's a store. She's just store.
You don't need kids.
I don't know. I don't need kids. I got them. I'm dealing with them.
Yeah.
I hurt my back one day, and I was stretching, and I left the front door open. First of all, I live at the beach, okay?
Yeah.
So I just want to let people know that I'm doing very well. Things are going good. My dad said it would never happen, but I'll tell you what, Dad, you can't stop me with an X-ray machine. We live near the beach. We live right on the beach. And I was stretching, and we live on a duplex, and we're on the top floor. And I look out the window, and all I see is my dogs running on the beach.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, this is interesting. Usually I'm with them.
Yeah, but not now.
I've left the door, and they're just like, freedom! And they got their little skirts like they're from Scotland, and they're running all over the place.
It's Ian Bagg, everybody. More of this sort of thing when
ding
you see
dong,
him at the Improv.
Bong. Hey, was the mayor this fun?
Yes.
When the mayor was here?
He was on a different show.
I see he brought donuts.
IanBagg.com. We got to wrap up here.
You don't have to wrap up. Let me tell you something about this higher
we
level.
We have to.
You see the bell means ding dong.
We
time to go.
Bing bong.
Go see Ian at the Improv, please. Improv.com. Chicago.
You guys
improv.
Could just
com.
Leave. I'll be here with the microphone off. And I'll just be talking.
That's fair. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the North.
They don't matter if I'm not involved.
On WGN Radio.
I should be here.
Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. A lot of texts for our last guest, a lot of texts asking, I didn't catch his name, who was that? His name is Ian Bagg. He's very, very funny. We've had him on before. We hope to have him on again. He's performing at the Improv at Woodfield Mall this weekend. Go to chicago.improv.com.
He's so funny.
Very funny.
He makes me cry, like laughing cry every time he's
There's
here.
A Robin Williams quality to him, right? You get that
All
too a little
board.
Bit? Yeah.
Yeah, but can I just tell you, and you know this and I feel bad saying it, I was not that huge of a fan of Robin Williams' stand-up.
You weren't? No?
I liked him in the serious roles. I really thought he was just amazing. I didn't like that all over the board stuff, but I'd like Ian Bagg.
Ian pulls it off. Yeah. It's very, very funny. There's a story in the Washington Post this week that certainly deserves some attention. The gist of the story is this. The boys at a school in Maryland, this is Bethesda Chevy Chase High School in Maryland, the boys there did a thing that I don't think is all that uncommon. I know that, and it even references it in the story, saying that this sort of thing has been going on for generations. What the boys did was they took 18 girls that are part of a special program. This particular school, Bethesda Chevy Chase High School International, has what they call a baccalaureate diploma program. It's some of their top students. And the boys ranked the girls. Now, keep in mind, these are for the top girl students in this special program. And for people who don't know, because I keep saying Chevy Chase is an area in Maryland. Yes, he was also...
Who doesn't know that?
Every once in a while, when his name comes up, people go, why are you referencing the guy from Saturday Night Live? No, it's...
He had no part of it.
He had no part of it.
Although
whatsoever.
He probably would be. He's cranky lately, I hear.
He's very cranky. Yes. So the boys in the program ranked the 18 girls in the program in terms of looks, just solely based on who do you think is the prettiest, who do you think is the least pretty. They started with a grade of 5. They went up to 10. They talked to all the boys. They go, you know, you tabulate it. We'll add it up. We'll figure out who's the prettiest down to the least pretty. The girls then found out about this, and as you would imagine, were not too pleased.
These are like scholars, right? These were
They're their top students.
Okay.
Yeah, they're best students.
Yeah.
So what the girls did was they arranged for a meeting between themselves, the girls that were ranked, the teachers, you know, some principals, but mostly the teachers who deal with these kids, and the boys themselves who were involved on the ranking. And it said that the meeting was supposed to go for 45 minutes, and it lasted over 2.5 hours. And what the girls did was, one by one by one, they got up and they said how demeaning this was. You know,
and why wasn't I higher on the list?
Maybe.
I'm kidding.
Maybe. But
it is degrading and humiliating.
The boys were so moved by this that the one guy in particular who first created the list, and his version of the story is, I didn't mean for this to get out, which we already kind of guessed. Right?
Yeah, obviously.
We understand that part, sir. But he said he didn't realize he was upsetting this many people with this and that it was so emotional. The girls told stories about how they're sexualized at every turn. There's one girl who told a story that when she walks home every day, there's a guy in a construction truck who follows her and yells lewd things at her as she's walking home. She doesn't feel safe.
What a piece of work that guy is.
There was another girl who had said that from an early age, she was abused. There was another girl who said that she's been in counseling for her weight, you know, and this sort of thing doesn't help being ranked. And the boy who at first compiled the list was the last to speak, and he goes, I'm sorry. I had no idea it was this emotional and horrible, and I would never do something like this again. So I guess you could say some progress came out of this. But what do you make of something like this? And like I said at the beginning, this sort of thing has been going on. I'm not saying that it's right by any stretch, but this isn't the first time, or probably the last time, sadly, that something like this will happen.
I would agree with you. I would bet you when I was in high school, this went on too, but there was no internet that someone found out about it and then shared it with everyone else.
Right.
I'm not saying it's right.
Right.
I am saying that people look to looks. They do. When you're attracted to someone, you know, I think the first thing is, wow, I find them appealing.
Right.
They look very pretty or very handsome. And then you get to know them and then your relationship either builds or it
right.
disintegrates.
Yeah.
But I think looks, people comment on that.
Oh, constantly, all day, every day.
100%. So, I mean, I just feel like this kid, when he says, I didn't know how much this would hurt you, I feel like
you're
did.
You're not buying it.
No, because then if it was just between he and his friends saying, let's rank them in order of who's hot and who's
right.
not, it was done privately because had that gotten out, he knows full well that it would have offended people.
Right, right.
So I don't know that I buy his apology.
I still remember, this is junior year in high school, when I was in a class, Mr. Kappel's social studies class, and a list came to me, and the guy in front of me gave it to me, and he goes, mark your answers and then pass it to, and then it was the guy who was sitting behind me, Chris. And I didn't know what it was. I just saw a list of girls' names, most of which I knew, some of which I didn't know, and then a bunch of numbers afterwards, and it was guys who had previously ranked them. And all I could think was, I'm not saying this to try to say I'm Alan Alda. I'm a sensitive guy. I'm not, right. All I could think at the time was, somebody on this list is going to come in last or second to last and is going to find out that 50 girls in our class were rated and they were rated last. And I thought,
you don't want to be part of it.
I don't want to be a part of that girl finding out about some list and somebody saying, isn't that weird out of all those girls you came in last? Sadly, there's a lot more to it than just that one girl's feelings.
Right.
But at the time, it was just, wow, some girl's going to find out they were last. I can't be a part of this.
That just makes me feel bad. I feel bad for the kids who always got picked last.
For sports,
yeah,
and stuff, sure. Yeah. But don't you also have to take into account that the way society is structured, you know, every year when People Magazine does the Sexiest Man Alive issue, that's their top issue of the year.
Yeah.
Is everybody wants to know, is Matthew McConaughey still the sexiest man alive? You know, so we do live in a society where you're getting star points based solely on how you look. But to these girls who are in this special program for being smart, well-rounded girls or people, you know, not just girls, but part of a bigger collective, it screws up the system.
What shocks me is the boys were also top students in the school, correct? They were also the smartest of the smart.
Yes.
I find it surprising that they did this.
Good point.
You know, if the football team did it, and I'm sorry, I'm not offending football players, but, you know, it's more of a locker room mentality, which I believe has been used before. I just could see it happening more there than someone who's at the top of the heap grade-wise.
Yeah, I know. What are your thoughts on this? Again, this is a list that came out of Maryland at a high school in Maryland where the boys ranked the girls in a special program, let me add, having to do with their top students. The boys ranked the girls in terms of looks. What are your thoughts? Good, bad, or indifferent? We're at 312-981-7200. We'll pick this up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, let me quickly catch you up. There's a great story in the Washington Post this week about the goings-on at a high school in Maryland, by which all the guys in a special group, they have a special baccalaureate diploma program, all the guys in the program ranked the girls, the 18 girls, just in terms of their looks. The girls found out about it. Of course, they were not too happy. They called for a big meeting, which included themselves, some members of faculty, and the boys. The meeting went for a long time, more than 2.5 hours, and in the end, the guy who first originated the list came forward and said, I had no idea it was this awful. I apologize profusely. I'm not taking him off the hook. Believe me, I'm not.
I think everybody does it, but come on, this kid knew better. And somebody texted and pointed out, in this Me Too generation,
how can you be blind to this?
You can't.
I know.
And these are, you know, very smart, the top of the heap kids, so I don't buy that. I'm glad he's apologizing.
They're top of the heap kids, Wendy, but they're still 17-year-old boys. And again, I'm not apologizing. 17-year-old
boys know stuff more than 17-year-old boys when you were 17. I'm sorry.
I hope so.
There's so much more going on.
Right.
They're way more aware of things than you were when you were 17. And you turned down participating in this list.
I did.
The only one, probably.
No, there were other guys who did. I wasn't the only one.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Because everything is so out there now. People are aware of this.
Yeah.
Judy, what do you think?
Well, I'm a twin, and I was always identical twin, and this is a very sensitive subject because I was so compared to my sister, both education intellectually and looks wise, that I actually chose to go to a different girls' high school to just not be competing with her, and it was so bad that even in my family there was a better twin people would introduce me as her sister.
Oh my God.
And because she was very successful in school, and my mother at one point even took me into her bedroom and said, here's some makeup. Wear more makeup. Be more like Mary Ellen. Then you'll have more boys. And I'm in my 60s now, and I can go to a funeral, okay, and I'm old, and people will compare us.
That's terrible.
It is what it is, but my sister now has all these issues with it, and I'm like, well, that's human nature to compare. It's just like, how can you say, hey, look at those two old twins over there. Hey, one looks better than the other. Or what would happen? I mean, but it really made my choices different. I hung around with a different group. I didn't get my my degree till I had children. It affected my entire selection from life because I wanted to get away from that feeling less than or not as good as that as my sister.
And how's your relationship with her now? Because I imagine she's got a lot of guilt that you felt this way the whole time because her fault.
She said that she took too much pressure having to be successful and that I ruined her life. She's very wealthy and has two homes in California and doesn't talk to me.
Oh my God.
She said it was easier for me to be a loser than it was to be it was for her.
All right. First of all, you're not a loser. Second of all, you can come in and I will help counsel you.
Oh, wow.
I feel really bad.
Wow.
I just had to say this is significant. I mean, this is you know when you're raised in a home like that. So these girls, it might be a group, but it is significant when you're told you're the least attractive. That follows you. It does.
Oh my God. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Judy. Continued healing with this.
Good luck, Judy. Good luck.
Don't worry about it. I'm worried about it.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Mary's on the line, wants to talk to us. Hi, Mary.
Mary, hello.
Okay. Hi, guys. All right. When I was in college, gave them a picture before we arrived, and they put together this book of the freshmen so you would know who you saw. You could look up, a name or whatever.
Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But guys and girls. The guys would take that, and it was called then the freshman dog book, because what the guys would do is they would go through and they would rank the, first 10, good looking.
Yeah.
And then the bottom 10, not so good looking. And let's just say they weren't nice about it.
Yeah.
And then they published that in the school newspaper.
Oh, no.
And it's horrible.
Wait, they published the names of the girls that came in last?
Yes, it was horrendous. And I was in one of those first 10 groups, and I will never to this day forget who was on the bottom list. I will never. I'm in my 50s, and I know I can visualize them, and I always think, how horrible. I wasn't happy to be on that list there, first of all. But you to know after all this time and how horrible that was. And they know they got a lot of flack for it.
Right.
But it never stopped. It never,
Were you in contact with any of the girls whose names were published because they were considered to be the 10 ugliest girls in the class? This must have just destroyed them.
I never approached them in that concept because they were in, different areas of campus.
Yeah.
And so I remember seeing somebody freshman or senior year that I knew, and I didn't even know what to say at that point. I didn't know what to say, period. It was just
horrible.
Horrible. I'm in my later 50s. I will never forget that, ever.
Yeah.
And so it was sorry, just, Mary.
It was horrible.
Rough
horrible,
story.
Horrible.
Thanks,
Mary.
For sharing that with us. Someone has texted, Wendy, you had the IKEA hunk on the other week, so it's okay for you to demean a man, but you find these boys offensive. This stuff happens. He's got hunk in his name.
And I was goofing around. He set up a channel on YouTube.
Hunk.
Referring to himself as the IKEA hunk,
with
and
no
he lives
shirt
up to
on.
His name.
Yeah. And I was playing along.
Right.
I just wanted to make him feel hunkier.
Here's a text, 630. Men and women are being judged by their looks daily, whether it's being written down or not. Girls gossip about guys. Guys gossip about girls. There's no harm. In some cases, I guess you could say...
But don't make a list. No evidence.
Not of girls that are in a program because they want to excel using their brains.
People still look at other people, and I'm sure some of those girls were like, oh, so-and-so is really hot. There's nothing wrong with that, but you shouldn't compare people to other people. You shouldn't.
Yeah.
And I mean, looks make a difference. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's how we're originally attracted to someone.
Yeah. One of the girls tells a story about her family's always saying to her if she's going on any kind of an interview, like a job interview, hey, you got to let your hair down a little bit, look more a little fun, And she's like, no, that's not what I'm doing,
See, but that's individuality,
Right. Right.
Like one of the callers who said, my mom said, wear more makeup. I mean, we should be able as women to wear, I like to wear a lot of makeup. There are people that don't like to wear any. Doesn't make anybody better or worse.
Sure. Right. All right, we will take a break. We'll get you some news, and then Dean Richards will join us to talk about film. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys, Dean.
He's Dean. I don't know if I heard Dean breathing.
Dean, are you breathing? Oh, I don't think he is breathing.
You know what? You did not hear me breathing because they installed some new equipment.
Yeah?
To try to shut out some of the background noise.
Oh. You mean Annabelle Laval?
Well, I don't think that there has been the technology invented that could shut that out.
The Malaval filter.
But, you know, it's kind of where I do this from our newsroom.
Yes.
Here at WGN. And, you know, it's, you know, they're very busy eating free food and snoring and, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Hoover just ran in and took a selfie while you were on the air, too.
That's the least of which that happens. Believe me, when people see the microphone out and me talking,
oh my God.
Suddenly everybody has to come over here and do stuff by my desk.
Yeah.
So they installed some kind of new thing now. It's supposed to be quieter. And if, I guess if you didn't hear me breathing.
I didn't.
I guess that's good.
No.
But in
progress.
But in real life, if you ever see me and I appear to not be breathing,
I'll help you.
We'll call a paramedic.
Put
or something.
A mirror under my nose.
I'll mouth to mouth you, for God's sake.
All right, baby.
Wendy may do that anyway. She's still counting her options. Dean.
Are you supposed to use tongues during mouth to
no,
mouth?
No, you're not supposed to. That's too much. Dean, I just saw you on the TV talking to Danny DeVito.
On the TV.
You were talking to Danny DeVito.
Yes.
from Taxi, I guess people would know him from.
Always right? Sunny.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia, one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
Please tell me he's a nice man.
Super nice.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
Super nice, jovial, fun, irreverent, inappropriate.
Is he, yeah?
I can't even tell you the number of times that I've interviewed him where we get the interview and you go, well, that's going to take 6 hours to edit all the swear words out of that.
Now, Wendy and I were just talking about him the other day because I maintain that he and his wife, Rhea Perlman, are back together.
That's what we're hearing.
You didn't ask him, huh?
No.
I guess that's
it. What if they're not?
I don't think they are. I thought they decided to split amicably.
Oh.
I thought they got together.
I wish they would.
Because Wendy said, can you think of two more people in show business that are better suited toward each other than those two?
Yep, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Couldn't agree with you more.
It just looked like, as I'm watching the interview, it just looked like you were having a good time and he was having a good time.
I was. I think he was. You know, that said, he is an actor, so, you know, he may have been pretending to be having a good time.
Yeah.
But just on the subject here, while we're chatting,
yeah.
I pull up a March 22nd article in People magazine, which says Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman called it quits on their marriage 2 years ago, but the pair remain in each other's lives after spending 46 years as a couple. So I guess technically they are split.
I get the Rona Barrett Award for
you
today.
You win, Wendy. This is fantastic.
Usually that's you, Bill.
Rona Barrett.
Bill
has the same haircut.
I...
By design, that's, you said.
That's hurtful, but accurate.
Now,
I went in with a picture of Rona Barrett, and I said, make this.
Can you do this?
Yes.
I don't want to start any political stuff, but really, doesn't Donald Trump sort of have a Rona Barrett?
Very much so, yes.
Because it's like she had also kind of combed in odd regions. And
right. And the odd region for Donald Trump would be the United States.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
She's much prettier.
It's
or was.
They just had similar, you know, when people have, it's kind of a comb over. She had kind of a comb over. She combed it all forward, if I remember it correctly.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump certainly has some kind of magical thing that he does with his hair.
Do you remember when Rona Barrett, they put her on as the co-host of the Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder after he had been the host for years and he was not too pleased?
And she's, you know, like the quintessential Hollywood showbiz
gossip guru,
stereotypical gossip guru.
Yes.
And Tom Snyder was just sitting there smoking cigarettes.
Yes.
Kind of slumping down in the chair with that wonderful Tom Snyder sort of anti-tradition
that
he made famous. It couldn't have been more
It was
awkward.
So awkward.
His rebelliousness.
It was beautiful because he did his half of the Tomorrow Show from New York, and she did hers from Los Angeles. So there was some crosstalk, and you could just tell they hated each other. Yeah, it was great.
It was incredibly awkward, horrible. Yeah, we need more of that on radio and TV.
Well, do you know where it's still going on? Is on The View. I love it on The View. The ladies do not always get along.
Right.
And now there's a book, you know, about this book about behind the scenes. Women Who Punch, it's called.
Right, where Rosie O'Donnell had a crush on
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
And Elizabeth was bothered by that. I say you take it as a compliment. A crush is a crush.
Yep.
Yeah, what's the harm?
I don't know.
She never acted on it.
She says it wasn't sexual. She just had a crush on her. Yeah. That's all.
Like she was a big sister, proud of her younger sister.
Yes.
Wanted her to do well.
Yes,
is what I read. But when I mean uncomfortable pairings, I mean that show and so many other panel shows. Now they designed them so people will fight on the show.
Right.
It's part of the dynamic.
Right.
What I like though is just the really great, uncomfortable, unplanned, uncomfortable pairing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you could, like if Bill and Kevin Hart could do a show together.
Well, first of all, Bill would walk out, so that wouldn't.
No, I'd stay for that.
No,
I would love
not.
That.
You wouldn't talk. You'd sit there with your arms folded.
I would just do that. My arms would be folded. The whole time, every time he said something. Wouldn't that be great?
Interesting.
That would be wonderful. Can you tell us, now this is sad, but Wendy Williams has had an awful week.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah, she's admitted to having a substance abuse problem. She is living in a sober house, a rehab facility, so she's able to go to work and, you know, do things during the day, but she has to return to that rehab house in the evening to deal with her problem with alcohol, as it's been described. The other day, the woman that has been linked with her husband had a baby. It's believed that Wendy Williams' still husband is the father of that baby. Wendy Williams fell off the wagon from her program and was apparently, as it was reported, went out and got drunk. She was hospitalized. She was taken back to the sober house, but apparently is back on track again. That was just something that kind of knocked her for a loop again, and I guess, I don't know. I guess,
is her show out of production during all this, Dean?
No,
it must be. No, they're still doing the show?
That's what I wanted to say.
Wow.
Even people that are actively working and you think everything's going well for them, these demons can be there, and money doesn't mean no problems a lot of times.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm sure she would like nothing better than to just stay home and, you know, stay at the rehab center and, you know, get therapy and work on her problems, but she's contractually obligated to do her job. So, you know, she goes in there, she puts on a good face, you know, a strong face, and does her job, and then goes back to the rehab center at night.
Had she been split up from her husband, or was this kind of...
They have been estranged for a while, yes.
It's still...
And this comes quite a while after, but she had that episode on Halloween, not last year, but the year before, where she kind of just passed out during a taping of the show, remember?
Yeah, there's been... I mean, it seems like this has been a long time coming. There've been lots of reports of lots of erratic behavior, unusual behavior that they said was exhaustion. The show publicist made up a million excuses for it.
Yeah.
We don't know what's really true and what's not true, but, you know, part of the, you know, steps to recovery is admitting that you have a problem. She has done that. She's working to try to improve herself and, you know, to get better. So I wish her all the luck with that. It's hard. It's hard when you're in the public eye.
Yeah.
You know, to, you know, to have all of your demons out in the newspaper and, you know, dopey talk show hosts talking about it.
Can't be easy. All right. Dean Richards is our guest. Wendy, what were you going to say?
When I say that, I mean me.
You mean you. Yeah.
And TMZ, she was found drunk on Monday afternoon and appeared on her show Tuesday as if not. I mean, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, that's
tough.
And that's tough to deal with.
Yeah.
So good luck to her.
All right. We'll take a break and then we'll find out what Dean's thoughts are on the new version of Dumbo that's coming up next. Hold on. That's ahead.
You elephant lovers may want to turn the radio down.
Cover.
I know you guys are very big elephant lovers. 2554. That's an unusual demo.
Number one with pachyderm fans. Number one.
Pachyderm fans, 2554, you may want to turn the radio down
oh,
for
no.
the next few minutes.
All right, I have a feeling this is not going to be pleasant. Stick around, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dean Richards is our guest. You know Dean, he's on the WGN TV Morning News.
And WGN Radio, too.
Oh, I didn't know that, Dean.
Aside from being, like, right now.
Yes.
But
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
I listen to you.
I wander around my house endlessly, and then I go, I should go someplace. and then I come down to the radio station, and I do a little radio show from 9 to 1 every Sunday morning.
Do you sleep all day on Saturday? Because that's the only day you're not really doing anything work-wise, or do you?
No, I do not ever sleep.
Dean, who plays the role of the wacky neighbor Dave Schwann on that show?
We've hired a very talented actor.
He's good.
Yeah, he was.
Very convincing.
He used to be, I don't even remember his name. That's how good of a character actor he is. But if you remember, he was the guy that you would occasionally see in background shots in the The Ropers.
Oh, yeah.
The TV show The
Ropers.
Yeah,
he's great in The Ropers. Yeah. I love that guy.
Stanley.
Yeah, he's so talented. All right,
oddly, he also wears a caftan like Mrs.
He does?
Roper. Yeah.
That's a good look.
It's very comfortable.
That's
like
a very good look.
Week. It's comfortable.
Dean, you have some sad news for people like myself who can't wait for this new version of Dumbo. What is your sad news?
Maybe that's part of my disappointment that I was also so looking forward to this. The animated version of Dumbo has always been one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
It's very sweet, it's very touching, it's very uplifting. There's so many things to love about that original movie from 1941.
And a short film, too. People don't realize.
63 minutes.
Yeah, it's just an hour long, a little over an hour.
It's just a little over an hour long.
Yeah.
It just goes to show what I've always said. When you add people to a movie, it gets wrecked.
Yes.
And that's what's happened here.
Oh.
The new movie is from director Tim Burton, who very definitely has got his own signature look and feel about things. Tends to be a little bit twisted, a little on the darkish side, but that's only part of what's the problem with this new Dumbo, which unfortunately I think doesn't even just completely put out of your mind that you might find this as warm and wonderful and as charming as the original. Put the original out of your mind and judge this movie just on this movie, and it's almost as if it's a shallow shell of a Tim Burton movie.
Mm.
It's almost as if Tim Burton can't even make Tim Burton movies anymore. Mm. That's sort of the way that this feels. As I say, there are no talking animals in the movie anymore, which, you know, for my money, that ruins anything.
You want some talking animals.
I enjoy a talking crow myself.
Right.
That's always
right.
been...
Timothy the Mouse, not in this movie?
Timothy the Mouse, not even featured in this movie. Not one of the animals talk.
Oh.
Which, is very unfortunate.
Sacrilegious.
Instead, they've added people to do all of that, like Colin Farrell, who is a former circus star. He goes off to war, World War I, and returns to the circus... only to find that his wife, who was caring for his two children in the circus, has passed away. His children are working for the circus, and now he's back. But he has lost an arm in the war, so he's no longer able to do his acrobatics as he once was. So he is assigned to take care of the elephants.
Mm-hmm.
So he and his children take care of these elephants. Along comes this little baby elephant that's born with these big floppy ears, who everyone sort of considers to be a laughing stock, turns out that has an ability, finds out by accidentally inhaling a feather, that when he sneezes has the ability to fly. So this little baby elephant goes from the laughing stock of the circus to the star of the circus. But there's just no heart to the story at all. Danny DeVito is the circus owner who does anything for money. Michael Keaton plays an even bigger circus owner who buys this little fledgling circus in order just so he could have control of the flying elephant. But the warmth, the character, the heart of the movie is gone. Never mind that it's not even close to the original. There's just really it's a kind of a shell of a movie. Really,
boy, that's sad.
It's very interesting. I mean, you know, he's brought modern technology to the movie. There are a couple of scenes of computer-generated elephants. They're kind of cool to see and kind of trippy to see, and special effects, of course. Flying elephants are, you know, that's obviously a special effect. Mm-hmm. In fact, all the elephants in this movie, interestingly, are special effects. They didn't actually use any actual animals in the movie at all. But so it's very interesting to see that, but story over substance for me anytime in this movie just doesn't have it. It's slick looking. It looks like a Tim Burton movie, but it doesn't have the heart. It doesn't have the heart, whether you're a baby elephant walking or not.
Does it have the song? Because if it had the song, that would give it
away. Make the difference.
Yeah.
This kind of makes up for no talking animals. Just
isn't
be able
to
hear
best?
That.
Is this Henry Mancini?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And James Galway.
Baby elephant walk.
Yeah. Dean, what happens
if
with
an elephant? I might be a little offended that this
you
is,
should be.
Why are you marginalizing me playing this blumpy theme song?
Right. Right.
It why sounds graceful.
Why
I
can't
think
an elephant walk to I'm so sexy? I'm too sexy. Why does an elephant have to walk to that song? Why are you marginalizing me?
Well, speaking of politically correct, Dean, maybe instead of Dumbo, poorly educated Bo. Wouldn't that be better?
Maybe. It might make more sense.
What happens with a guy like Tim Burton, who obviously knows how to make movies that are filled with heart, when you make a movie like this and it just lacks that? What's going on? Whose fault is that?
I have to think it's his fault.
Yeah?
You know, I mean, there are a lot of people that are involved in it, but he's the top man. He signs off on everything. And
sure.
Really, if you look at Tim Burton's movies for the last 20 years, he really has not had any huge hit movies for a very long time. Mm. So this, you know, unfortunately falls in that category. I could not be more disappointed.
Yeah.
I was so looking forward to, you know, a movie that touched your heart the way the original Dumbo did. And that part of it, that is nostalgia. And I do my best when there are movies like this, if there are remakes, you know, things like that, I really try to separate my affection, like Mary Poppins, separate my affection for an original movie over something which has been redone. And this one just doesn't, it to me, it just didn't make it. And there was it's just a huge missed opportunity.
Oh, that's sad.
I gave it a Dean's List D.
Dean's List D for Dumbo.
Dumbo.
Yeah,
for
it all makes sense.
Yeah, I wish I was that clever.
Dean, have a good weekend. It
you
was
too,
great
guys.
To talk to you.
Thanks,
Dean. That's D for Dean. We'll take a little break, and then coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.